Our scripture this morning is from Numbers chapter 26, verses 63 through 65. These are the ones counted by Moses and Eleazar the priest when they counted the Israelites on the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. Not one of them was among those counted by Moses and Aaron the priest when they counted the Israelites in the desert of Sinai. The Lord had told those Israelites they would surely die in the desert, and not one of them was left except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun.
Good morning, church family. You know, over the past several weeks, I've actually really enjoyed Steve's walking us through the book of Numbers. I remember when he first introduced to us to the book of Numbers that he was going to preach through that book, he kind of introduced it as maybe perhaps the book of Numbers being too boring or too unexciting, but I've actually really enjoyed his lessons this far. And it's really given me the feeling of, you know, confidence and encouragement, making me feel like, you know, I actually can do this wilderness journey thing. You know, giving me that, you know the feeling that says, you know, I think I can do this. I think I can do this. It's like that that very enthusiastic fitness instructor. You know the one, right? You know, when you got 30 seconds left in your 5-minute burpees and he's telling you, 30 seconds left, one more, right? Just egging you on, giving you the encouragement, making you feel like, you know, you can really do this. But unlike that overly enthusiastic fitness instructor, that fitness instructor might make it seem like what you're doing isn't actually that hard, or he kind of glosses over the difficulty of it all. Steve has actually been very upfront and honest about the difficulties of the wilderness journey, how hard it is to go on that wilderness journey. And that reality of the difficulty of the wilderness journey was very real for the Israelites as they were standing on this side of the Jordan River on the plains of Moab. They're just towards the end of their wilderness journey, and they were looking back on just how far they came, just how far they went from all the way from Mount Sinai through the wilderness. They walked through the wilderness, and here they are on the plains of Moab, taking their second census, looking back at the difficulties that they encountered so far. Now, this census taking that Moses and Eleazar took wasn't just a way for them to count families. It wasn't just a way for them to take names and record the number of people that were in their camp. It was also a way for them to process just how difficult their experiences were. It was a way for them to process each encounter that they went through. You can imagine that as they're writing the names down on the census, that Moses and Eleazar are accounting, remembering the names that should be on that list that aren't because of the encounters that they went through. Or they're remembering names that are on that list that perhaps weren't on the first census, and there's a backstory that is behind that. This was a way for them to process all of the difficulties on the wilderness journey. And so just for the first couple of moments here that we have, I want us to just to be honest about why the wilderness journey is so difficult. What is it about our wilderness journey that makes it hard on us, makes us not want to continue on, makes us sweat and be anxious about continuing this wilderness journey? What is it about going through a journey that can be difficult, unappealing, or challenging, much like it was for these Israelites, these early Israelites? Well, the first reason of why the wilderness journey is so challenging is because that the journey might, it just might involve change. It might involve some part of us to be different than it was before. And you think about the Israelites on this side of the Jordan River, not one of them was the same from the beginning of that journey. The Israelites that went into the wilderness were not the same Israelites that came out of the wilderness, right? There was change. There was something different about that. And for many of us, we look at the wilderness journey and we see that change. We see the uncertainty. We see the lack of consistency. And we might be afraid of that, of going into that journey. I think the second reason why the journey is so challenging is because it might just involve suffering. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul outlines this very well, and I think he was thinking about the wilderness journey as he writes this letter. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. And is that not the goal for us on our journey of life? For us to know the power of Christ, to know the power of Christ's resurrection. We see the end goal in sight. And we think, yes, that's what I aspire to. That's what I desire for my life, is the power of that resurrection. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says, I want to know the power of Christ, to know the power of his resurrection. And he says this, and to participate in his sufferings. And I wonder if he was thinking about, in order for us to have the power of Christ, we had to have first, perhaps, that journey to that might involve suffering. To get to the plains of Moab, we might first have to walk through the wilderness. And I think that might frighten us, that might scare us, that might cause us to hesitate going into that wilderness journey, going in, walking through that path. I think the third reason why the journey might be difficult is because the journey might involve loss. That this reality was made apparent as Eleazar and Moses, they took the census, right? Because it says that not one name was the same from the second census to the first census. And so that truth was staring at them right in the face. And they knew this reality. You can just picture the flood of emotions and memories of the past several years coming back to them as they were visiting each individual home and the families that should have been there that weren't. The people that should have been on that list but weren't. This activity of census taking, it allowed them to process the grief and allowed them to mourn that those last several years in the wilderness. And they knew that the journey that they just went through required them to lose some people. Even the fact that it was Eleazar and not Aaron assisting Moses in the census taking was a reminder of the losses that they encountered, right? Because it was, in the first census, it was Moses and Aaron taking the census. And since then, Aaron died and was replaced by his son, Eleazar. I think many of us can relate to this truth about journeying in the wilderness, that it involves loss. The past several weeks, as has been said throughout the service, the past several weeks have been very difficult. Southside has experienced loss after loss, and for many of us, we can't even remember what is the last good thing that has happened here at Southside. We might be scrambling for good memories when all we can bring to our mind is loss, pain, and suffering. We're crying out to God, how long, O Lord? Why us? Why are we being attacked on all sides? I think it's actually healthy to sit in that, to sit in that grief, to dwell in the mourning for a moment, because it teaches us something, especially if it's part of our journey. But through that loss, through the suffering, through the change, there is strength and resilience. Through the wilderness journey, through all of that, there is hope, there is grace, and there is faith. While taking the census, the Israelites, they didn't just have cause to mourn. And that probably was fresh on their mind after the experience they just went to. But they didn't just have cause to mourn. They also had cause to celebrate. They had cause to rejoice for the transformation that God allowed them to have, the transformation that God brought them. What we learn from the second census taking in Numbers 26 is that the person you were at the beginning of your wilderness journey is not the same person who comes out of the wilderness journey. Let me say that again. The person you were at the beginning of your wilderness journey is not the same person who comes out of the wilderness journey. There's transformation that happens as we go through that wilderness journey. And while that change might seem scary, because it's uncertain, it's not where we've been, right? It's not what we're used to. The transformation that God brings is hopeful, faithful, righteous. It's where He leads us, where we will follow. Who you were at Mount Sinai is not the same person you are going to be in the plains of Moab. And I believe that was the message that Jesus was telling His disciples when He told them about old wineskins, old wine, new wineskins. When He was telling them that old wineskins cannot contain new wine. We first have to be made new. We first have to be transformed in order for us to hold within us the newness that Christ brings. We have to remember that we have grown. We have learned from the experience of going through the difficult journey on the wilderness. Going through the hardships on the journey. And I know we can hang our heads. We can be discouraged. We can be mournful. We can be grieving. But through that, through those experiences, and even though we can't see it now, I'm going to be honest with you. What Southside has gone through these past several weeks, it's hard for us to see where God is leading us. In the present, right? It's hard for us to, Lord, what are your plans? Why have you led us in this valley? Why are you calling us in this way? But even though we cannot see the end, even though we cannot see the finish line, even though we cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel, we can be encouraged to know that when we trust in God, He will lead us and carry us through to the end. There is no better way for us to be transformed than for us to go through our wilderness journey, to be forged anew through the experiences of life. In the same way that diamonds are made through immense heat and pressure, so too are we forged anew through our wilderness journey. When we look down in the valley at the path we must take, we might feel a little bit hesitant to start that journey. We might feel the pull to turn back. We might feel that we actually don't need to go on this journey. We might be thinking, what if I don't need to be going on this path? What if God isn't really calling me here? Or we might be thinking, what if I missed the train? What if I was left behind? What if it's too late for me to begin my journey? What if I started too late? What if I can't even start at all? However, Scripture speaks to the fact that God will not let us be left behind. The Israelites, they went through a lot. They experienced death, loss, pain, and suffering. But they made it to the promised land. God delivered them to the promised land. And God will not ever let you get left behind. God will never stop pursuing you. Our Father will chase you down, even when we do not know it. There is deliverance for those who earnestly seek Him, and even for those who do not. The Israelites came out of the wilderness. They entered the promised land. God will see us through as well. There is hope for the brokenhearted, peace for the weary, and deliverance for the desperate. We see in the story of the Israelites in the wilderness, we see in their story a message of hope, a message of peace, knowing that they made it through and we will as well. And there's hope for us this day. Even though we cannot see it, even though we cannot feel it, even though we cannot imagine it, there is hope. There is hope for us today. If you need hope this morning, if you need peace, if you need prayers or anything at all, our shepherds are going to be standing throughout the auditorium as we sing this song together, crying out to God, praising Him for who He is. If you need anything at all, hope, deliverance, prayers, a hug, shoulder to cry on, if you need anything at all, please come as we stand and sing together.